Blog Talk Radio. And Shabbat Shalom. Good evening to you all. Good morning to some, afternoon to others. But a hearty hello nonetheless, and welcome to Natsarim Network on this faithful Saturday evening. We started doing Fridays, now it's Saturday. It is November 17th, 2018, and we are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leanne Grace, and it's good to be back with you all here this evening on air among a network of believers in Christ, Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagid, and that is the point of truth of which there is no compromise. It is the top tenet of this network as a whole, and I, Leander Grace, individually, as a matter of my profession of faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a message of truth so powerful, revealing a mystery so magnificent, and who can withstand it? Scriptures tell us that upon hearing it, folks will either fight and flee, or they will listen and become converted. And it is a privilege to walk this road. Thank you for being a part of it this evening, guys. It's an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing, diligently contending for the faith. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide our battle, knowing we are only given our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. So going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, but folks, we've got to show up. And this great awakening continues to accelerate across the whole earth, guys. And I want to tell you, it is really good to be back with you all. I had to take a couple of times off. Some, you know, I get to go and really at full bore, and I can obsess and do a good job at one thing at a time. But my multitasking skills, as the years go by, have gotten a little bit less. And so some of the real world stuff, some of the mundane tasks have been requiring my attention, and I haven't been able to spend the time and the energy to do the things that it's on air. But we are back on air tonight, amen, and it's a pleasure to be with you. The change is coming upon us, folks, with every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions we can yet, not even yet imagine. So, and reminding too, guys, lots of people are waking up with their gifts, but not all who are gifted are in and of the light. We must be discerners of the spirits, discerners of those things. And here is, folks, Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. And I love the way that rolls off the tongue, the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. And I think we got a really good program tonight, folks. I cut it down to an hour because I wanted to just get with the meat and potatoes and not have so much fluff this evening. But we are, even though this is the series for the harlots in the house and the thieves at the door, we're going to continue to remind folks that that is, in fact, the truth. And the third angel's message of come out of her, my people, and come away from the tents, for those of you who are of Judaic lineage, and understand the curse of Korah. Come out of her, my people, and come away from the tents so that you be not consumed of her sins. My goodness, and the wrath thereof that's coming down. We've ended that series, but guys, we're going to continue to remind you that make no mistake and do not be deceived. The time is now. We're going to talk about some really cool stuff. We're going to talk about the scriptures. We're going to talk about the road to Emmaus tonight. We're going to talk about the scriptures, and I gave you guys kind of a heads up, and I want to give you a heads up tonight as well. If you listen, whether you're listening live or podcast, pod people, we love you too. We want to remind you also to continue to cultivate a Berean mind and a seeker's heart, remembering that we must seek Him. We are at battle, and not only at battle, but we are at war, but we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood. It's not against human beings. It is against those rulers and authorities and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And for those of you who might doubt that that's what's going on, we're going to talk about this whole next week. Tonight, we're going to hint a little bit, but all next week we're going to be talking about these cosmic powers governing this darkness, where they came from, and what their motivations might be. We had to reschedule last Wednesday's program on holistic truth. We're going to be talking about it next week, as it was in the days of Noah. But I had a little bit of a cough due to cold. Had to take a little breathing thing. This cold air came on and got a little bit of my breathing cut short from time to time. Let me clear my throat. And from time to time, I have to clear my throat. But again, with the Berean mind, guys, be more nobler than those in Thessalonica. Receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. And that's reminding you to say, you know, don't trust anything that Leanna Grace has to tell you. Search those scriptures daily. The things I have to say, folks, aren't always going to be fun to listen to. It's not here to tickle your ears, but I think I got some fascinating things this evening to share tonight, and it's fascinating to me, and I was able to share it with a friend of mine across the pond, whose hours just don't allow him. Wingman, you've heard me speaking about before, you know, the hours difference just doesn't allow him to be part of the program right yet, but we're going to see if we can't do some things to make that happen a little differently. We might have a little bit of a pre-recorded thing going on. I think that would be fun for us. So there's a whole lot of stuff that I'm going to be saying might make you mad, might make you want to go away, but I encourage you to hang on, hang out nonetheless, and see if we can't pull some of these truths together for you, because it's a much bigger picture that's been painted, is being painted even now, and it will continue in its color adding until the return of HaMashiach Nagi. So again, research what you hear tonight so you can own your own experience. Now are the days to study, to show thyself approved of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember, that's approved unto God, not necessarily approved unto your neighbor or your preacher or your mother or your brother. The only measuring stick we have is the one provided by Yahweh Elohim. And the only way that we can even come close to reaching a good measure is through the faith of Yeshua. It all works together for good. And again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And tonight we do have a new scripture alert, and I love the promises that Yahweh Elohim has put in the scripture through the Holy Spirit, through the word of the Lord. It is becoming what it's becoming. Oh, I'm leading somewhere with it, am I not? Psalm 91:7, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. And this is a promise from Yahweh Elohim during the time of the tribulation. Yes, I do believe believers will be here. Otherwise, why was the book written for us? We'll talk about some of that on our other programs. We might even hint about it tonight. And as in a little bit different, you guys, a lot of folks have heard me talk about Dr. Chuck Missler, the late servant who passed away this past May, and asked me if I too was a rapture gal, like he was a rapture guy, and I'm going to go ahead and say this about that. No, I'm not. I was raised in a church who taught it. It never made sense to me. I tried to have it make sense, but it seemed to blur everything. And so, no, I think that the second coming and the rapture is all one thing. We go to Ezekiel and the dry bones for that. And, you know, following, again, remembering that prophecy is pattern. There's never before in the history of the prophets ever noted in the prophets or anywhere in the history of the actions of Yahweh Elohim on earth has he ever made people disappear and reappear. That's just not, and we can splice hairs of events and say that's foreshadowing, but it's really stretching. And so, no, I'm not a rapture gal. I don't think that we're going to disappear, go up there, and then come back down and go back up. I just don't think he's going to waste that much energy on us. I think that on the day of resurrection will be the day of resurrection. And as the scriptures say, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are already alive and with him will be changed in an instant to be like him. And that's what I that's answering an email. Can't remember your name right off. It was a different kind of a name. I thought I'd remember, but I didn't write it down, and I didn't put it on the copy sheet here. So I'll have to check on the break time during the L. It begins with an E, an E and an L, but I can't remember the rest of it. So anyway, that message came in question about the rapture. And so no, I'm not a believer in a rapture as a secret event and everybody disappears like in the series of Left Behind. I do believe that that crept in as a Jesuit lie by alluding to perhapsness things, perhapsness stuff. And it started with the Schofield Bible writing things in the margins, telling silly stories and creating a delusion. So I think that's part of the great delusion that comes upon believers in the last days that spoke about in the scriptures. And I'll talk about that more in an expounding manner on another episode perhaps. But that's the short and skinny of that. Otherwise, you know, I don't think that Yahweh would find the need to encourage us so much during that time. And another hit to that is, why would a whole book be written to the believers who aren't even expected to be here? If the whole of the scriptures is to be our guide from beginning to end, you know, we don't serve a nanny nanny boo boo God. You know, he's not going to write the end and say, ha ha ha, see what you missed. You know, that's not the way it goes. The Holy Spirit deals in puns, but not in practical jokes. That's something that we as humans have propagated from the other side. So we'll just leave that right there. So puns are different. Puns are to get our attention and bring home, like an analogy or in a metaphor, bring home something we don't know based on something that we do know. So there you have that. New scripture, Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And that's a promise to those who hang on and keep to the faith of Yeshua. Let me get a drink. All right. And once again, guys, we do bring up a lot of Hebrew words in this program. I am not part of a Hebrew roots movement or the Jews for Jesus or any of those things. I'm not Seventh-day Adventist, although I do keep the seventh day. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, although I do believe that the holidays that we celebrate are all secular and pagan, and we have forgotten those from our lineage, as I've put forth in the programs prior. But we are watchmen of Torah, the Nazarene. It was the name given to the early church, as spoken of by the prophets and the apostles. The first followers of Yeshua were known as the sect of the Nazarene, and they were not accepted by teachers of Judaism, nor the early Christian church. Now let's talk about the teachers of Judaism. Judaism is not necessarily... Now, those of you know me know that I love my sister Judah, but all scripture is given for reproof, even the Old Testament scriptures. And Judaism as practiced today, with much concentration and focus on the Talmud, that which is interpreted and that, rather than the Torah and the Tanakh, as it were, are missing out on the Word of God. And that started early in the time of Jesus. The teachers and the preachers, what did Jesus call them? The hypocritical Torah teachers, you know, teaching the reasonings of men. And it's contributed to some of the falling away of Judah even today. Remember back in one of the other episodes we talked about, Judah, your sister isn't doing much better, but I promised David, right? So, I promised David, so we're going to have to hang out with that. So those who are Nazarene are instructed. They were the Talmudim, those who follow Christ's footsteps, and watchmen or guardians of the Torah. Not one yod or one tittle shall fall away. So that's our new scripture, Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but none shall come nigh to thee. Now, tonight, there's a lot of places we can start and a lot of places we can go, but tonight, we've got a lot of scriptures to bring in, and for those of you who want to follow along in an interlinear scripture analyzer, that would probably be one of the best resources, whether you're listening live or podcast, pod people, we love you too, because you're going to want to look at these scriptures I don't have the screenshots of these scriptures up on the scrolling little banner thingy there on Blog Talk Radio. So you're going to need to go ahead and look at these up yourself, and it's going to be best to use the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer so that you can see them written in the Hebrew dialect itself, in the Hebrew language itself, because I'll be pointing some of those things out. So what is it that Jesus said on the road to Emmaus? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the road to Emmaus. And the road to Emmaus is a collection of scriptures that Protestant Christians refer to as the Road to Emmaus scriptures, and they are in John, and I thought that I had them pulled up already, but I guess that I didn't, so I'm scrolling feverishly and trying to find them, and I guess I didn't, so I'll have to go straight to the scriptures myself, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad rap either. So on the Road to Emmaus, let me go ahead and do this quick little change over here. I think I have it actually bookmarked. And as it were, it's not, so I'll have to do a quick search, and we'll see how the quick search works while we're on it. Should be rather fruitful. There it is. So we're talking about in Luke, actually, and it's right there on the information page as we go. I could have looked on that, but in Luke 24:13, all right, now what's happening before this is they're just now coming away from the tomb. And going on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, right? It's about 70 furlongs. And they taught together all these things which happened. Who was that? Well, those were the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. So, and it came to pass, and we're going ahead and going to Luke 24:15 now, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, and they had this little discussion, because they're, you know, they're got some post-traumatic stress. They got to talk this stuff out. They had some like group therapy, as it were, on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. But Jesus himself drew near. Now, remember, this is after the resurrection and all that, and went with them. So he's kind of like, you know, pulling up to the little group and talking about the things there, but their eyes were holding so that they couldn't know him. So in other words, there was just this dude, and they didn't pay much attention to him. They didn't know that it was Yeshua. So he said to them, what manner of communications are, what are you guys talking about? Right? What are you going back and forth and bandying one another back while you're talking? And one of them, the Cleopas, who was with him, he says, what are you, did you, do you, do you, where you been? Have you been under a rock? Where have you been that you don't know these things that have been happening here in Jerusalem in these days? All right? And he says, what things? But Jesus, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they tell him, you know, this is how it was, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. And then they said, but we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel, right? So they knew that he was the redeemer of Israel. And beside all this, to this is the third day since these things were done. So it's like this is the third day, and, and certain women also are saying, came and they blew us away. It said, made us astonished, which went to the sepulcher early, and they didn't find his body. And they came and they were saying, they saw angels. So they're saying, look, these women came and they said that he wasn't there, and they saw angels and all this stuff. And he's like, they're distraught, right? And then Jesus said to him, oh, fools, oh, you foolish and tardy of heart or slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. So directly he's addressing them and saying, look, you guys are full of mourning and feeling sorry for yourself, but you're lost, but you're not paying attention to what I just finished teaching you with the prophets. And they still don't know who it is. And he says, ought not the anointed or Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And at beginning in Moses, now this is also what we have on the information page there here on Blog Talk Radio, and Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then, you know, they went to the village. They said, hey, you know, it's about evening time. Why don't you stay with us? He said, yeah, okay. And then when it came time to break the bread, he blessed it. They realized who he was. Their eyes were opened. And then he vanished. So he had appeared to the woman, and he had appeared to the others, and he appeared to these, and he's going to appear to some more. So he's just kind of making the rounds, as it were, to let them know that the prophecy had been fulfilled. So where I want to go with this, and what I want to focus on, is Luke 24:27. He says, and at beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, when I took a look at this, I remembered something very distinct, something that's always caught my attention and always made me question, because looking at it at face value, to me, in English versions, right, in the King James Version, I would read this scripture and it looked like folly to me. It looked like a fooly. It looked ridiculous, actually. And, you know, we know that God's not ridiculous, so it's not me calling God ridiculous, but this scripture to me looked ridiculous. And it's at the point of ridiculousness that I want to go ahead and start this evening, because it's not ridiculous at all if we read the scripture literally, rather than having a man's understanding or a person's understanding as what we've got in the King James Version. I remember the King James Version went through the Vulgate and went through the stuff. So yes, we do need to look beyond that. And the scripture that I'm talking about is back in Exodus, and it's, you know, we're talking about Moses, right? When Moses and all of that, when occurred. Let me get a drink. And it's in Exodus 3:14, and the scripture says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, this scripture has always kind of caught in my craw, and it's come up from time to time for a little bit better understanding and a little bit better understanding. And it wasn't until I actually started looking at the Hebrew and understand that the word that's being translated in I am is Strong's Hebrew 1961. And it's, again, the same word that's translated in the second I am. It's Strong's H, meaning Hebrew, 1961. And then, of course, the word in between is Asher. So it comes out, if we're trying to be phonetic about this, it's Ahir, Asher, Ahir. But understand that with the Hebrew language, the same letters and the same Strong can have a different tense based on the contextual understanding. So as we go over to the Hebrew, what's reflected in the Hebrew translation under the first Strong's H 1961 that we see in verse 13 and 4, 3 and 14 is I shall become is the translation. And then the second listing of Strong's H 1961 is I am becoming. And so what we have in Exodus 3:14, if I can read it literally, it says, then Elohim spoke to Moses, I shall come to be just as I am coming to be. And he said, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I shall come to be has sent me to you. Now, that's the concordant literal version, but as we come straight to the Hebrew, it sounds even a little different. Now, this isn't the complete Jewish Bible that I'm reading this from. This is actually from the Hebrew under the Hebrew Direct Translation. And he is saying, Elohim to Moses, I shall become who I am becoming. He is saying, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I shall become has sent me to you. I shall become has sent me to you. That's an amazing phrase to me. That is an amazing phrase to me. I shall become who I'm becoming. Now, all through the scriptures, whether we're talking about in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Judges or all of those, all of the books or the writings, you know, that there's always a Strong's H 1961. And I did a concordance search on that to find out everywhere that the phrase "I am becoming" or "I shall become," but more to the point, where Strong's H 1961, "I am becoming," was translated, or that word was translated into "I am becoming." And as I scroll down just a little bit more, and let me see if I can make this right. When I went through the searches, and I don't know if I can bring it up, I think I had it splashed somewhere, but there's a whole list of scriptures. We'll talk about those on the other side of the break, because I actually need to bring it up. But there's a whole list of scriptures that outline who it is, how it is, and what it is that I shall come to be, had become. And for Moses, he became his mouthpiece and a sign. And for Joshua, he became with Joshua, and he became with David, and he became with all of these individuals that we talk about in the scriptures. Whether he is becoming a father to a son, or he is becoming a husband to a nation as a wife, or whether he is becoming our Elohim. And it is chronicled from the time of Moses and all through the prophets, the becoming of the one who is to become. I shall come to be, has sent me. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We're going to go through these scriptures point by point on the other side, because remembering that prophecy is pattern. And you say, well, Land of Grace, we've already read this. We already know this history. We already know these things. Why is it that I'm bringing it out now? The reason I'm bringing it out now is because there are so many around that say you can't prove scriptures to be true. And I say, yes, you can. And by showing these patterns of the prophecy, it is my hope that you as listeners and seekers of him, and those with the Berean mind and a seeker's heart, can seek and search through these scriptures and see this for yourself. And understand that it's the footprint, you know, the footprint of the Holy Spirit. It's the thumbprint, the handprint, the very thumbprint and identity of the Holy Spirit in all of this. Whose Holy Spirit? His Holy Spirit. And the story begins even before that. If we remember that Jacob said, you know, he said to Jacob, oh, you be a son to me, or said to Isaac, I'll be his father, you be a son. And he said it again and again and again. He said it to David. Said it to Solomon. And then the relationship changed. And we'll follow that in scriptures as well. But regardless, we do know that the story goes on. And we'll talk about the different steps in the different scriptures where the story is outlined to us as Yahweh Elohim becomes the one who is to be, who shall be. Michael O'Brien, and the story goes on. I am your host, Leander Grace. We are broadcasting live from the Howl Mountain Desert, and we'll be back on the other side of the music. Till then.
Love it. out the dark. I heard that his kingdom had come. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, and to all those who followed his voice, he changed every heart. It's not just on pages of history. It's not simply chiseled in stone. It's kept in the depth of the soul. And the story goes on, and it burns like a flame. Through the years and the tears and the trials, the story goes on, and we carry his name, and it echoes across our minds. We enter this life with a whimper and cry. Sometimes we fall, sometimes we fly, but the altar and truth we can never deny. And forever the story goes on. In pain or in death, his name always stayed on their lips, and it's passed down to mine. So I'm following all those before me, and even long after I'm gone, the message.
Welcome back, guys, here to the last half of Patience of the Saints. We're talking about the road to Emmaus. We're also talking about how it is, the translation of a particular verse that stuck in my craw for a very long time. That's Exodus 3:14. Asher, Asher, or Asher, Asher, Yer. I am that I am, say that I am, has sent me. You know, that in the actual translation, it's I shall become. You know, I shall become with you. Oh, my goodness, I shall become who I shall become. Now, when I do the proper search, what I end up with is only, because I'm looking through a limited scope of application and context of this word, and I come up with 29 hits and 27 verses, and that's because sometimes it's mentioned twice. So what I want to do, though, to kind of show this, is go up a couple of other verses, two more verses, because we're still dealing with Moses. Remember, that's the road to Emmaus. He said he expounded on everything from Moses. Now, a lot of the Protestant preachers out there, they'll tell you about the metaphor of the rock in the desert, and that's a metaphor for Christ. And yes, that's, we're not disputing those analogies and some of those things that are obvious or have become obvious for us. And common knowledge. This is a way of pointing out the language that is used in Hebrew and why I choose, why I think it's so necessary, why we bring this to you in so many Hebrew words is because it's important to understand the language in which it was given. And it's just like sometimes, you know, when you're speaking English, when you're trying to tell a joke in another language, it just doesn't translate. And vice versa with other languages. So just as in that, when Holy Spirit is dealing in puns, we've got to take a look at the original language. So taking a look first, let's see if it applies earlier and before the great big I am that I am came forth. And let's take a couple of verses earlier in Exodus 3:12, and Yahweh saying to him, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. This is God, you know, Yahweh talking to him. A token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve Yahweh, one Elohim, on this mountain. One, you shall serve the one Elohim on this mountain. Now, in the King James Version, it says, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Okay, more directly, more direct translation is, you will serve the one Elohim on this mountain. But if we go over to the Hebrew, and we take a look at the Hebrew, it says, I shall become with you. I shall become with you. King James, it says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. But in the proper context, in the Hebrew, it says, and I shall become with you. And this for you, the sign that I sent you, to bring forth, you know, the people of Egypt. And then, of course, we have the Aleph and the Tav right there as well, complementary. So we know who it is that is becoming. Now, does this mean that there is an evolution of God into something else? No, that's not what we're saying at all. That's not at all the picture that's being painted. It is the people that are becoming. It is the people who are changing into the people of God from what they had become as a tribe, and then as slaves in Egypt. Now it's time to become that holy people that he'd been talking about all this time. And I will become with you. What will he become? Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look. Because the next time we're taking a look at Exodus 3:14, it says, and he is saying to Moses, I shall become who I am becoming. And he's saying, thou shall say to them, I shall become has sent me to you. Again in Exodus 4:12. And now you go, and I shall become with the mouth of you. In the King James it says, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Right? You're saying, okay, don't worry about it. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to tell you what it is that you need to say. Don't worry about your words. I got your words. Right? And if we look over in the Hebrew, it says, I shall become with the mouth of you. I shall become with the mouth of you. In Exodus 4:15 it says, and you speak to him. Okay, in the King James it says, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. This is to Aaron, right? He's like, I can't talk. I can't do this. Da, da, da. It's just fine. Pick Aaron. He'll be your priest. And you're going to speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. And over in the Hebrew it says, I shall become with the mouth of you and with the mouth of him, and direct the Aleph and the Tav with you, and the Aleph and the Tav which you shall do. So the Aleph and the Tav is all over this page. We know that to be the handprint of Yeshua, right? The first and the last, the Aleph and the Omega, Aleph and the Tav. The next verse we get into Deuteronomy. What's going to become next? What's it becoming next? And in Deuteronomy 31:23, and he gave Joshua, now we're handing it off. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge. And he said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. What is that going to translate in? And I shall become with you. Over in the Hebrew. Isn't that amazing? And I shall become with you. He's becoming what he shall become. And we know he's coming to be salvation. That he shall become with you. Let's look again in Judges. And the Lord said unto and Yahweh Elohim, right? And Yahweh said unto him, because I'm with you, you have smitten the Midianites as one man. And who is he talking about in the Judges? It's got to be Solomon. I mean, my goodness. Who is he speaking in? Angel of the Lord? Yeah, to Orpah. Yeah, so he's identifying. So he's talking to Gideon. And he says, the reason that you were able to do all these Midianites and get them all is because I was with you, right? And in Judges 6:16, what we see over in the Hebrew is, and he is saying to him, Yahweh, that I shall become with you. And you smite with the Aleph and the Tav, Midian, as one man. Interesting. Let's go to Judges 11:9 and talk about Jephthah. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, I shall be your head. Now, what is this saying? Jephthah said, I shall become to you to head. So he was talking about placing himself in his place. But again, it's the same usage. I shall become to you. I will become to you. And in 1 Samuel, and David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law to the king? Again, I shall become son-in-law to the king. I want to talk about this first. This is 1 Samuel 18:18. And David's talking to Saul. He's saying, who am I and what is my life or my father's life in Israel that I should be the son-in-law to the king? And he wasn't going to, he was supposed to be marrying Merab, the Saul's daughter. But it ended up not going the way it was necessarily supposed to. I think he took her back, right? But Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, right? But it wasn't to be so. But the whole point of this verse was that he was saying, you know, who am I? And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is speaking also through David. Usually when David's speaking, so is the Holy Spirit. Who am I and what is my life from my father's family in Israel that I should be, that I shall become son-in-law to the king? And it has a lot to do with what we were speaking about a couple of weeks ago. So 1 Samuel 23:17 then, he's got, I shall become to you to second, even to Saul. So again, someone's becoming. And then we get to Samuel, 2 Samuel 7:14. And this is when David is talking to God, and he's saying, you know, Yahweh, I want to build this house for you. And he says, you know, there's a lot of blood on your hands for you to be building my house. But you know what? Your son, Solomon, can build this house for me. And this is the first time that we actually have the father-son scenario coming in. He says, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I shall become for him a father, and he shall become for me to son. Right? And I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. So he's saying, look, he's going to be my son, but if I have to push some chaste chastisement or some other stuff, if he goes wayward, I'm going to use actually men, the rod of men, the rulers, the other people, to set things right and remind him that he has a God, or with the stripes of the children of men, right? But he says, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So he's talking to David about his son. He shall become for him to father. So up until this point, it was becoming with him, becoming with, I shall become with. And now we have, I shall become for him to father. La'ab. And that's Strong's Hebrew 1. And in Chronicles, once again, he's talking about, I shall be for him a father. It's the same scenario, just with a different writer and a different chronicle. And again, he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he should build thy house, for I've chosen him, and I shall become to him for a father. So during this whole identity here, Yahweh is becoming for him, or for us, for the lineage, a father. A father. And in Psalms, in 50 and 21, it's a little bit different. It says, you do these things, yet I kept silent. Now, he's actually talking pretty harshly to the children of Israel here. He says, you do these things, yet I kept silent. You imagine that I should become, yea, that I should become like you. But I shall reprove you, and I will arrange the charge before your eyes. So we have all of this becoming, becoming, becoming. He says, now, wait a minute, you thought that I shall become, then I shall become like you. But no, that's not the way this is. I shall become what I'm becoming. Once again, going back to Exodus. And then Isaiah says, I shall become as one binding up. So now, after the chastisement, God's saying, I'm going to become one like I'm one binding up. And I'll be taking care of things. And it's in Jeremiah that we first see the phrase that I shall become to you for Elohim. And that's in Jeremiah 11. So there's a whole becoming. And then, of course, do Ezekiel and all the prophets talk about the becoming of to become our Elohim, for us to actually see the role that God plays. I shall become for them this. I shall become for them that. Now, it's not a lot of fancy schmancy words, and it may not be this a great big fantastical thing to other folks. But these are the little rabbit holes, the little remnants, the little rabbi holes, little things to go down to investigate, to see the handprint of the Holy Spirit, to see the pattern that reveals itself in prophecy, or even the prophecy that reveals itself in the pattern. So he became and he became and he became. And then what occurred? Well, in Hosea 4:6, we are reminded that my people are rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children. Now, this isn't, you know, you made me mad and I'm going to spank you. It's a direct result of your actions. I'm removing my grace, and you're going to feel the direct result of your actions. So all through the Testament, all through the story, all through this time, through the prophets, And through the writings, you know, we're told that he is becoming what it is he said he would become for us all along. And if we go back into Genesis again, remembering that God said, that Abraham said to his son, you know, God will, you know, provide himself a sacrifice. And we can go back earlier than that, all the way back into the lineage in Genesis. And the lineage in Genesis, we're told that man appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. And that's the lineage in the first 10 patriarchs in the scriptures. So there's no convincing me that God hasn't been trying to tell us from the very beginning how it is he was going to remedy the situation that we created. We see it over and over and over through the scriptures. And again, it was in Hosea 2. Remember Hosea 2:16. When God was telling the difference between, you know, a husband and a someone who cares for you. Although we were created to be his possession as a spouse, as a corporate entity. And in Hosea 2:16 it says, and it shall be at that day that the Lord, that Yahweh, Elohim, said that thou shalt call me Ishi and shalt call me no more Bali. And that means husband rather than possessor, or the man of me rather than the possessor of me. And it started out, it says, and he becomes in the day. It doesn't say, and it shall be. It says, and he becomes in the day. Now, none of the other translations translate it as an individual. And I don't necessarily see the Aleph and the Tav in that verse, but I do see the Aleph and the Tav in the next verse. And it says, and I take away the names of, right? I'll take away the names of the Baalim out of her mouth. Out of whose mouth? Out of Israel's mouth. Out of the one that he has to divorce and will later remarry, which, you know, the angels are like, who's going to tell Yahweh that he's breaking his own rule, right? Who's going to be able to watch this? So that's the great mystery, how he can divorce a wife and then take her back. And that was the solution. And in that day I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the air and with the creeping things on the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword of the battle of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. So he's telling us even here there's going to come a day when we're going to understand it all. We will no longer, you know, think of him as a possessor, but as a partner, as a spouse, to be respected and honored. So the relationship changes. The essence of who Yahweh Elohim is does not change. You say, well, Leanna Grayson, that sounds like you're talking about the plurality. I am speaking about the plurality of Yahweh Elohim. There's a reason why Yahweh Elohim has Elohim, which is a plural. It's a dual. It means it's more than one, but it's only singular. Shema Israel, the Lord is one. The name is one. Now, to put an example of the plurality, I want to pull something from, let's see, I think I have it bookmarked. Yeah. And this is all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And if I had scheduled more time for the night, we would go back in and talk a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. But we're not going to. But this is Genesis 19:29. And it's just for the sake of the language that I want to take a look at this. We will take a look at Sodom and Gomorrah again at another broadcast. But because a lot of things occurred at Sodom and Gomorrah that didn't necessarily make it into Genesis, but is definitely documented in Joshua. So it says in Genesis 1924, it says, the Lord, or Yahweh, rains on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from Yahweh from the heavens. So the Lord, or Yahweh, rains down fire from Yahweh from the heavens. So, you know, I don't think necessarily that someone's talking in the third person. We might want to take a look at this. Other Hebrew scholars did as well. This, I'm not the first person to discover this. I had to be taught this to look for it myself. So I just want to bring it to you. Yahweh rains on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from Yahweh, from the heavens. So we need to take a look at that, that we actually have a couple of folks there. Yahweh's referring to Yahweh. And again, when God's talking to Moses, you know, when Moses is up there, he says, you know, God, I want to see you. I want to see who you are. And you know, God says, well, that can't happen. Right? That can't happen because nobody can see my face and live. And so he put him in the rock and he says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to put my hand over you and you can see the passing of my glory and I'll show you Yahweh. You know, and he's like, look, Yahweh's going to show you Yahweh. So those little things in the scriptures alert us to know that, you know, it's not, let me go ahead and do a little search on here because I want to give you the direct translation. And I believe just looking for the cleft will be enough. And it's not. So, but he put him in the cleft of the rock and he did this. And Yahweh showed him Yahweh. So we ask the question, who was it in the burning bush? So all of these things point to the same individual, the same Yahweh Elohim. And we need to be cognizant of that and be aware of where the pattern of prophecy pulls up. And understanding these little bitty niches, these little bitty things that, you know, that God has laid these little breadcrumbs for us to follow, helps to prove the scriptures. Helps to prove them every time you open them up. Because again, I can't be convinced that the plan of God was hidden by Hebrew scholars. You know, that the Protestant, what we claim is the Protestant plan of God is hidden in Genesis by Hebrew scholars. You know, in that way. There's just too much, too rich, multiple layers of language. I mean, multiple layers of communication in the scriptures. And of course, speaking of multiple layers of communication in the scriptures, we are going to be starting our next series, which will be the parable series. We only have a couple of weeks left in this month to put it out, but I think that we can get them all done in a couple of weeks, taking a look at them, what they relate to. We'll bring in some other truths as well, bring the scriptures together, show the prophecy, show the pattern, and hopefully, have a burning desire started within you to search the scriptures daily to see if these things are true. I am your host, Leandra Grace. It's been my absolute pleasure to bring you this broadcast tonight, The Road to Emmaus. Not only were the obvious connections there that point to Jesus, whether it's the rock or all of these things, we'll talk about some of the other all of these things in some other broadcasts, but what I wanted to bring to you tonight is the beauty of using the Hebrew and seeing the pattern of communication, the preciseness also of the pattern of communication, and the lengths to which Yahweh Elohim has gone through to show us the plan over and over and over again. But again, we must seek Him. Until next week, folks, of course, we will be live on Monday with MAGA Monday and, of course, all Holistic Truth. We're going to see about talk about it as it was in the days of Noah. We may have to break that into two episodes just because there's a lot to bring in. And we'll talk about more than just the days of Noah. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, some of the technology that's coming in that may not be wise, although we are capable. Until next time, folks, I am your host reminding you to, as always, to watch for signposts, connect the dots, find your path, live in love, and learn how to forgive and awaken your sleeping commitment. Until next week, good night.